Welcome to episode 74. So we both had the like flu cold thing last week. Actually, this is like 2 weeks for me, going on three. Holy crap.
It sucks. It's not, I mean, I'm totally better now, but I just kind of feel like it's still that when you recover and you're not, like your appetite's not really back yet. I don't know. You feel off. You just wake up every morning for a while feeling kind of hungover, but not like really bad, just kind of that mild like, oh, you have that for a while. And now I'm still in that place where I just like, I don't know, every now and then I'll eat a meal and afterwards be like, I don't really want that. I don't know. It's a strange feeling.
No, I
can't really put my finger on it. It's just, you just feel off.
So here, this is the bitchy complaining episode where like, we're both like still going, ugh.
Yeah.
Okay. But fucking sucks. Prince died.
Oh my God. I can't even like, it's so beyond sad. And now the rumors that he might not have had a will, which I find hard to believe. There's no way that man didn't have a will. You don't have $300 million and not have somebody advising you to make sure that you have a will. He had to have been like surrounded by attorneys. Somebody had to have said like, make sure you make a will.
I'm hearing some very good conspiracy theories.
Oh, like what?
My friend actually feels like that she channels him. He came to her. She's a medium. And he, according to her, he was murdered.
What?
Yeah, because he was going to be putting out a book on July 17th regarding like Hillary Clinton and how bad she is and like that she's part of...
No, that's her theory, is that Hillary Clinton murdered Prince.
Not personally, but
why
that he...
Why on earth would Prince put out a book about Hillary Clinton, and why would anyone care what Prince thinks about Hillary Clinton?
Because it's like the Illuminati and Big Pharma and Monsanto and all that stuff. It was really interesting to listen to her, what she had to say. So,
okay, but you realize how crazy that sounds.
Of course it sounds crazy, but don't think, I mean, yes, it sounds crazy, but I'm open to listening to whatever people perceive as crazy, because if you don't think that when Jesus Christ was walking around and someone's like, yeah, he just made wine and fishes, and they're like, what? You're a fucking idiot if you believe he did that.
Well, you have to actually believe that he did that, which I don't.
Well, I know, but a lot of people do, Keek.
Yeah.
Look at the whole Christian religion is based on...
On a book that was translated a million times and that was probably a work of fiction.
Well, but that's kind of my point. You know, people believe what you feel called to believe. So I'm just, all I'm going to say is I'm very intrigued by
You're making a lot of noise. What is happening over there?
I just moved in my chair and it didn't go well.
Yeah, but come on. I mean, Prince was murdered. What? Where did you hear that? Well, my friend's friend is a psychic, and Prince came to her in a vision and said that Hillary Clinton murdered him.
That she was responsible for his death.
Why didn't we hear about this supposed book that was going to be released soon?
Because it's under wraps, apparently. Well, and that appropriately that there are people that have this information that it will come out. It was really interesting. I mean, I'm just open to going, wow. That's kind of crazy. And then, of course, the autopsy is going to come out that it was, you know, drugs or he had whatever. And, I mean, the National Enquirer is already saying that he had AIDS. And, you know, all that shit can be manipulated.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that think Princess Di was murdered by the government. There are a lot of people that think that John Lennon was murdered by the government. That, you know, these were all patsies. So,
patsies, you know, for what, though? What did John Lennon ever do to anybody that the government would need to kill him?
He was a changing social movement and how people were viewing the government, and that he was more about peace and love. He was more about bringing us together, not by our differences, but by things that were the same. And so by doing that, that causes people to not be afraid and they stand up for themselves. And the government and people in general, the leaders that be, do what they do based on people's fear. People are more motivated by fear to do things. Look at the transgender bathroom situation. You're not necessarily even going to know if it's a man or a woman that's actually in the bathroom, but the fear mongering has gotten it so crazy that now anyone who's a man, who's a woman, who's going into the restroom is a pedophile who's going to try to fuck your daughter. I mean, it's, you know, but that's based on fear.
Yeah.
So don't, I mean, that's why I'm open about things, because fear has motivates people to do crazy shit. They do. Look at the KKK.
No, absolutely. I just, you know, I mean, that the Clintons killing Prince is a little,
and that they're evil and that, you know, that she does things like causes the problem and then fix it so that she looks good. It was just really interesting. She did a webcast yesterday and, you know, for whatever it's worth, it was, let me put it to you this way. She believes it.
Oh, and I'm sure she does. I mean, you wouldn't go out and say stuff like crazy like that.
And she said, if you think I'm crazy, then, you know, don't continue to listen. But I'm telling you that this is what I was told. And I was like, okay.
By ghosts.
By spirits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. In any case, the truth of the matter is the guy's still dead. And yeah. whether he had a will or not, and that'll be interesting. I got to imagine, though. I have to imagine that maybe he didn't have a will, but he had enough organizations and shit that had their own money that maybe that him not having a will is really not that big of a deal.
Oh, it's a big deal. It's a really big deal because the money will go to, I think he's got six siblings, like, cause half siblings and full siblings are treated the same in the state of Minneapolis. So, or Minnesota. And so it'll be the $300 million will be divvied up amongst the siblings and to do with as they please. So even though like everyone knew it was common knowledge that he wanted Paisley Park to be a museum after he passed, they don't necessarily have to. They could sell it off for parts and take the money. Like when you don't have a will, no one's going to give a shit what you wanted.
So he didn't have a trust even?
Don't know. I mean, there's still his sister filed legal papers saying that there was no will that she was aware of, but that doesn't necessarily mean there wasn't one. They're still trying to figure it out. She went to the courts to, I guess, to have them step in right away and kind of, mediate or act as an executor.
Exactly. You got to get it into probate. Especially because there's so much money involved.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, that would just be sad if he wasn't able to, like, if all of his stuff, if it wasn't, you know, whatever, treated the way he wanted it to be treated.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, you know, his siblings, who knows, they could be crackpots for all we know.
Yeah. So my friend went on to say, well, first let's finish with that. What an incredible musician. I mean, the guy could pick up any instrument and play it.
So amazing. Really sad.
I watched when they did the induction for George Harrison, and they played like Tom Petty and Steve Winwood and Jeff Lynne. They did "My Guitar Gently Weeps."
Yeah,
his guitar solo on that was unbelievable. I mean, it Prince's? Was just yeah,
yeah.
I saw that last week. It was so moving. But yeah, it's an interesting time that all these heavy hitting creative people are leaving the planet.
Yeah.
They are heading out in 2016.
Yeah.
There's a whole, you know, again, if you look at some of the stuff that I read about astral this and spiritual that and why they're making an exodus now. And it's some wacky stuff.
Why are they making an exodus now?
You know what? I didn't finish reading that article, but just to expect that there'll be more major like entertainers deaths this year. I'll research that a little bit more and get back to you on that.
That'd be great.
But, yeah, so this, my friend is like starting this thing called the Raspberry Brigade, and it's to challenge the political system so that, Bernie Sanders can be on the ballot regardless of whether he wins a Democratic nomination, which obviously doesn't look like he will or not, because she's claiming that the, election has been bought. And that Hillary Clinton, and she's not a political person. I've known her for a number of years, and she could give a shit about politics. So this is all really fascinating to me. But that, that the superdelegates and all that shit, that they've all been bought just to get her back into the White House. So it'll be interesting to see if there's any movement in this. But
why does she, what information is she going off of?
Well, the whole stuff with Prince. And that Bernie, you know, that there's been, we've had so many liars in office, and that Barack Obama and Michelle Obama have been like the best, that they've been truthful. She went on to say that she was told that Barack Obama and Prince were very good friends and that they would coincide meeting up at different places, and that Barack Obama gave him a lot of information about Hillary Clinton and what was going on and the conspiracies and all that stuff. So her Facebook page, she's goes under Abigail Noel, and you can actually watch her. It'll be up on YouTube too, but her thing about Prince, she actually, she lets us link our podcast on her page. So we go up on her page every week.
Sweet.
She did a podcast yesterday, a Facebook podcast. So you can look her up at Abigail Noel and see what she has to say about Prince and his death and her theory based on what she was channeled.
Okay.
So, yeah. So it was kind of interesting stuff. But so she says that, you know, as all we need is 51% of the country to say that we want this man on the ballot and that he's the honest, most honest candidate that doesn't lie, which, you know, quite frankly, I'm a supporter of his. So I have, you know, I'm in line with that. I think he's a truthful person, but we won't need to get into that in too great a detail. But I just thought it was really interesting because usually what happens when someone of this caliber dies is that there is a lot of stuff that comes up around it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, so that happened. So he died. And you know what else happened?
What?
There's a mother and a son in the United Kingdom. Have you heard about them? She was 51 and he's 32.
Yeah.
And she gave him up for adoption.
Okay.
And he was married and he met her. He's 32. He called her up in like 2013 or found her in 2013 and they met.
Okay.
And sparks flew.
What?
Yeah.
What kind of sparks?
Well, sexual sparks, actually.
Between she revealed the mother that, and the son?
She revealed that as soon as she started, after she met him, she started having reoccurring sex dreams about her son who was married at the time. What? The attraction was mutual. Ford divorced his wife so he could start a relationship with his biological mother. And rather than viewing the relationship as incestuous, the duo insists that they are merely leaning into their genetic sexual attraction. It's not incest, says the mother. It's GSA. We are like peas in a pod and meant to be together. GSA is a legitimate phenomenon.
What is GSA? NFL. What does that mean?
It's the genetic sexual attraction. And GSA is what occurs when biological family members who never knew each other in childhood meet for the first time as adults and experience an intense sexual attraction to each other.
What? That's a real thing?
There's not a lot of research out there on the subject, but a website for the Genetic Sexual Attraction Forum, an online community general resource for people dealing with GSA, loftily claims that, quote, feelings of more than just a familial level occur in up to 50% of all post-adoption reunions. In 2015, New York Magazine published an in-depth interview with an 18-year-old girl who lost her virginity to her father after being estranged from him for 12 years. Like Weston Ford, the father-daughter pair claimed to have an intimate bond due to GSA and planned on marriage and babies in the future.
What?
Unfortunately,
they're going to have fucked up cousin babies.
They could. Parent-child incest is generally regarded as bad. And Psychology Today reported that when the first-degree relatives have a baby together, there could be some serious, even fatal complications. So she says, the mother says, I know people will say we're disgusting and that we should be able to control our feelings, but when you're hit by a love so consuming you're willing to give up everything for it, you have to fight for it. So I went on, this was, you know,
love each other the way families love each other. Don't love each other by...
Well, no, they hadn't seen each other, so they didn't actually know each other. The British mother and son could face jail time after the shocking revelation that they are lovers. She's actually claiming that they're having mind-blowing sex together.
Ew, don't say that.
Uh-huh. Okay, so they went into hiding in Michigan.
Oh, they came here?
Yeah.
And why? Because it's not illegal here?
I don't know, but under Michigan law, state law, the mother and son could also be forced to sign the sex register for life. They could go to jail for up to 15 years.
Here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, oh, we have laws against it here too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well,
I don't think.
Well,
I think
why would they come here?
I think they were here. I don't know what exactly happened.
So I thought you said they were. Oh, Yod's coming. Yod's coming. I thought you said they were from
the
UK.
Oh, she was born in UK. The New Day is a UK magazine, oh. And she was born in the UK. Okay, so she says that she was, you know, originally she was confused about this attraction, but, you know, after researching, found out that it was GSA. So she said after learning
that's
about it, she said she felt a weight had been lifted. It's a once-in-a-lifetime chance and something Ben and I are not willing to walk away from.
Well, he walked away from his wife. Can you imagine? Babe, yeah. I love you. I know we took vows forever. I know you're my age and we're more completely sexually compatible, but I've decided to dump you from my mother.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. That's, there's so much, there's so many different levels of confusion for me before I go that it's wrong. There's actually confusion for me where it's like, empathetically, I go, what do you do if you're those two people? I mean, like, wouldn't that just be, I mean, just think about it from their point of, wouldn't it be weird to meet the other person and be like, holy crap, like I'm turned on. That would freak me out.
Gross. Yeah. And I would never tell another living soul about it. I mean, like, come on. I would just be like, nope. Oh my God, there's something wrong with me. My brain is malfunctioning. That's gross.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, so you've been separated for like 30 years. I mean, because you
could even be, but the father-daughter one, the one where the 18-year-old lost her virginity to her dad, they weren't separated. They were estranged for 12 years, which meant that he was in her life when she was a baby. So that, yes, he knew her when she was 6 years old. That's gross.
Okay,
that's
but
gross.
Then what about those cases where, like, and you've heard them because they're, I mean, they happen more, where the parents are married, they have children. The father has like stepped out and had an affair a gajillion years ago with another woman. Their kids go to high school and the boy and the girl hook up and then find out only after the parents.
That they're half sister or brother?
They're half brother and sister.
Yeah, I think it's a little different because usually when that happens, they both go, oh my God, seriously? Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And, you know, they get, well, on TV.
In the TV episodes, they get grossed out.
They get grossed out. On TV, they usually get grossed out and then they stop that shit from happening before. Like,
not on
it gets
order.
Too
the
far.
Girl was having a baby.
Yeah, a fucked up cousin baby that probably didn't make it because genetically it was all tweaked and it came out with like four eyes.
Oh, I think the baby, I think she was murdered and that was the whole thing. The baby died, but whatever. But oh my gosh. So this story kind of, I went, uh-huh.
It's disturbing. It's disturbing. I don't understand the whole genetic sexual attraction thing. I've never heard of that before. And I don't understand research-wise, why that would even be a thing. It makes no sense to me. Wouldn't you just go to therapy and be like, help me understand this? There's something in your brain that is telling you, you know, but you can kind of switch it. You can kind of switch it. It's just the wires getting crossed. You can switch it to be a more
normal-like
family.
I'd love to talk to a psychiatrist about this, who either says it's, you know, bullshit or that it's a legitimate thing.
I'm sure it's a legitimate thing, but one would think the treatment of there would be some sort of treatment of that.
Just probably behavioral. I mean, just probably avoidance, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know,
but
and then it's
Ricky
people
Letourneau.
Also say
I mean,
that there's,
was,
huh? there's people also say that like there should be treatment for homosexuality too, and we think that's disgusting. So maybe
right?
like somewhere down the line, it's disgusting that we think there should be treatment for children wanting to have sex with their parents. Gross.
I know it's not pleasant sounding. Believe me, it's not pleasant sounding at all. But
yeah, but the Mary Kay Letourneau thing, that doesn't really count. That's just an older woman falling
for
a younger guy. They don't relate.
The only part of the Mary Kay Letourneau thing that I'm bringing up is that she went to jail and still could not give up on her attraction to him. So I'm not talking about the age difference or
yeah, but everybody
that
thought that was crazy too. Everyone thought
that was crazy
too. Of
course, and they're married.
They have
three kids.
And they looked at her, you know, you looked at her the entire time and listened to her in interviews and she sounded crazy. She looked totally normal, but she sounded crazy when it was like, yes, I was willing to give up everything. Really? Your husband, your children? Like how would you like to be the husband or one of the kids with your mom continuing to say, you don't understand, someday you'll understand. I have a buddy whose wife walked out on him, not from much younger, but for a younger guy. And she just kept saying to him, you know, you, you'll understand someday this was just meant to be, we were meant to be together. And it's like, no, I don't. And he still doesn't. He still is pissed off at her. He still doesn't. He's like, I just want to punch her in the face every time she says to me, someday you'll understand this was the best thing. Really? How is this the best thing for our children? Would you like to explain to our children how this was the best thing for you to be, you know, to take off and be with this other person who you claim is your soulmate? There's other people involved. Yes. Selfish bizatch.
There always is other people involved.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's cause I listen, I would never participate in that relationship. They are consenting adults.
Would you want to live next door to them?
I wouldn't care. What would that? I mean, I'm not going to catch cooties from them.
No,
I mean,
but it's just one of those things where it's like, it's just, it creeps you out. It creeps you out. You'd be like, I want to come over for a barbecue. Don't have sex in my backyard in front of us.
See, that's just it. It's like, I'm at an interesting place myself where it's like, what am I really judging? Just that I think it's gross that they're doing what they're doing, but they're consenting adults. And if I look at, and I'm not saying that we're going to condone incest, and that's not what I'm saying, is that I condone incest by any means. I'm kind of intrigued by the psychology of it. And then I look at myself and go, if they're two consenting, sane adults and they're not hurting anybody else, isn't it their business?
No, listen, I'm not going to stone them or anything. It's not like I'm going to, like, you know, light torches and hang out on their front lawn. I just was saying that because it's one of those things where it's like, oh, that's a hard pill to swallow. For
it
me.
Is, and that's why I have a really hard time
not judging that. I'm intrigued by the psychology of it 100%. But there's also a part of me that would be like, yeah, I don't think I would want to live next door to it because I'm just looking out my window like,
And 20 years ago, you know, you, euphemistically speaking, you may not have wanted to live next to two women who were living next door.
Yeah, or, I was always okay with homosexuality.
No, I'm not saying you personally. I'm just saying if you look at time, maybe 20 years ago, collective you, would have not.
I think in history, I don't think anyone has ever been okay with incest. I don't think it's one of those things that's gone away over time. It's not like, you know, we've made big strides.
Wait a second. Look at a lot of the royal families.
We've made big strides. And this
you get a blind eye then.
We have not made big strides in incest being okay.
You're turning a blind eye then.
When was it okay?
Look at a lot of the royal families. Look at the lineage lines in Egypt. They were sleeping with cousins and sisters and brothers to procreate the line.
And everybody was okay with that?
Well, I didn't take a poll, but apparently they weren't.
Are they still doing it?
You know what? I don't know. I think King Tut's dead. I think they're all kind of dead. But my point is that it must have been socially acceptable on some level. It's not like they were overthrown as a result of it.
No, but you know, back then, I don't think it mattered socially acceptable or not. You couldn't do anything against the royals, or you'd be killed. So it might not have been socially acceptable back then.
Well, clearly somebody thought it was okay because that's why they started doing it.
Yeah, but they were all fucked up. Haven't you ever seen The Mummy?
All I'm pointing out is that it's very interesting, the mores through time of what was acceptable then and what's acceptable now. It was acceptable in the 1600s to, like, if you saw a woman, you could just rape her and walk away. And if you were a landlord and you had a tenant and she was married, you could still fuck her and there was nothing her husband could do about it. I mean, there's, you know, and that's not right.
Where was that happening?
Have you watched Game of Thrones?
No, because that's not historically accurate.
Well, I'm just, it's not historically, wait, what's not historically accurate? I realize that there are
Game of Thrones
not flying around. What?
Game of Thrones. You're taking Game of Thrones as your historical litmus test?
No, I'm taking Game of, yes, because that's well-documented factually. Obviously, clearly, it's a fictional account. Okay, now we're going there. You might have to cut some of this out because there's going to be dead air. I'm Googling, 1600s. Could a landowner fuck a tenant's wife? Then and see what happens. Let's see.
Yes, they were all riding around on their buggies with bumper stickers that says, incest is best. Put your sister to the test.
Yes. I'm looking. I might have to do some research on this. The point being, I'm not just using Game of Thrones as a reference. There are other things that I've read where if you weren't of the higher echelon, I mean, anything could be done. If you stole something, they could chop your arm off. If you, I mean, there's just things that are way different. Hold on one second.
I think my disagreement would be with whether or not it was socially acceptable. You couldn't do anything against the royals back then because you would just be killed. But whether or not it was socially acceptable, I mean, the rest of the society might have been like, man, that's fucked up. But, you know, they have all the power, so there's no one we can do about it.
Yeah, I guess you have to look then at who your society is. If you're viewing your society as a whole bunch of other royals or a whole bunch of other, you know, landowners, then they're going to share the same social view. I mean, I'm pretty sure that the guy whose wife was taken from his house and raped wasn't all that jacked about it.
You know? Yeah, but I don't think people just looked the other way. I take umbrage with the fact that as to whether or not people just looked the other way and went, oh, well, it's my landlord. I mean,
didn't have a choice.
What was that movie with Liam Neeson where his wife was, that was like back in the 1600s and the bad guy took his wife out to the field and raped her, and he vowed vengeance. And, you know, obviously Hunt didn't track him until he killed him at the end of the movie. But that was Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson's always hunting and tracking somebody until they're killed.
He certainly is.
There's a theme to his movies.
And I realize I'm looking.
I have the odds this morning.
Yeah, you're going to keep our viewers completely awake. My point is...
What is your point? I think you have no point.
I'm very confused by this whole GSA thing. I'm very confused by this attraction between this woman and her son, which is...
Because what came first, the chicken or the egg? Is it... GSA came about because a bunch of people got together who were fucking their mothers and sisters and whatever, and fathers, and thought, this seems really wrong and everyone's going to hate us. Let's all get together and come up with some research that proves that this is fine. So now there's just, you know, so then they came up with GSA. Or is it a real thing? Or is it just something that they've come up with to make it seem more socially acceptable to lose your virginity to your father? Like,
what, men blah, right? Or whatever, men attracted to little boys or whatever, man blah, whatever it's called.
I've never heard of that.
You haven't?
Men blah?
Wait.
There's an organization for men who are attracted to little boys. Yeah, it's called pedophilia.
Yes, hold on one second.
Welcome to prison. It doesn't matter how many groups and associations you come up with, you're still going to go to jail. But officer, I'm a card-carrying member of MEMBLA. Oh, you are? Oh, okay.
No, it's not.
Then by all means, continue dragging that little boy into the woods.
No, hold on. That's not it.
You go on about your business, sir. I'm so sorry I interrupted you. I had no idea you were a MEMBLA member.
Okay, it's called NAMBLA.
MEMBLA gives a lot of money. They donate a lot of money to the police and firemen's fund. So you go ahead and drag that child into the woods.
Oh my God, that's just so tragic.
Would you like me to help you get that kid into your paneled van? Let me help you.
It's called the North American Man-Boy Love Association.
The North American Man-Boy NAMBLA?
NAMBLA. You've never heard of it.
No, why would I? It's stupid and disgusting.
Because of the news. I mean, it's been in the news for years. It's been around for quite some time.
Are you saying that that's something that should change too? That should be okay just because society frowns on it now? But back in the 1600s, it was okay for men to have... loving feelings towards their
consenting adults,
8-year-old neighbors.
No. So my point is GSA, this GSA organization, is it like NAMBLA where it's just kind of like they made up this organization. So, cause it sounds good.
I think, I think NAMBLA
in a certain extent, not NAMBLA, but the
GSA. Rip off the mask of GSA and you're going to find some NAMBLA members.
Oh, well, that would be interesting. Wow, this is train wreck city, this whole thing. Okay, so we got that going on, and if you're living in Michigan, you can look for Ben Ford and Miss West, whatever her name is, and I'm sure that they will regale in their mind-blowing sack.
Yeah, look them up. Look them up and go take them for coffee.
So let's just completely turn this around.
That's...
So, So there were these people working at a Burger King in Coons. Hold on one second.
Oh, God. The city started out with Coons. I know this is going to be an interesting story.
Coon Rapids, Minnesota. Okay. This was in early April. Okay. So they received, just a normal Friday night in Coon Rapids, Minnesota. They received a phone call. The employees received a phone call from someone who claimed to be with the Coon Rapids Fire Department. And the caller said that the restaurant was pressurized and could explode. So the employees needed to break the windows to release the pressure. And they did.
Why didn't they just open a door?
I'm guessing that they weren't real smart. Because also, in my opinion, if you're in a pressurized place and you break the window, that could possibly cause an explosion in and of itself. Because now you're letting all that air in. Mm-hmm. If I had gotten that phone call,
would have opened a door or said, who is this?
I would have left mm-hmm. and called 911 and found out if it was legitimate. I mean, I would think
so. Now they have video. I'm sure there's a YouTube video somewhere of the employees racing around and smashing all the windows.
Yes. $10,000 worth of damage. And somebody else did this to another Burger King.
Yeah, but I don't think so. There's probably no insurance for idiotic employees, right? I mean, there's probably not. Insurance doesn't cover that when your own employees smash the window.
I'd imagine there might be something about it. And I'm sure that these employees, and who knows, maybe these were younger people.
Were they charged with vandalism?
No, actually, I don't see that. Only one employee received a small cut, but there were no other injuries. I don't know. There's some logic missing there. If I got someone claiming to be from the fire department, I'd be like, if that's true, then why aren't you here?
Then why aren't you here with your sirens ablazing?
Exactly. So I'll wait.
So read some of those quotes. I'm assuming they have some quotes from the employees.
No, actually not too many, but they do have the video. The only quote really was that according to the police, the employees received a phone call from the fire department. And I actually read you the quote, but what's brilliant is that, you know, someone saw these employees smashing the windows and decided to take a video because they thought that was very odd that someone was breaking the windows.
Well, I assumed, I didn't think it was a passerby video. I assumed it would have just been Burger King's own security video.
But this is actually someone on a phone. So
it's fantastic.
There you go. Let's see.
Here's a story about a man who bought a Nintendo DS for secondhand for his daughter. Cause you know, I buy all that stuff secondhand too. Why buy it new? Your kids, you know, they get bored with it after a while. Anyway, it was filled with porn.
What?
Who looks at porn on a Nintendo? I mean, that's gotta be a really sad state of affairs if the only like electronic device that you can afford is a Nintendo and that's how you have to get your porn.
How do you explain that?
I don't know. Luckily, I think he caught it before he gave it to his daughter. But still, that's one of those things where I always, whenever I kind of recycle stuff or throw stuff away, I try, and I always have that small part of me that's like, I hope I'm doing this right, where you try to wipe it and make sure there's nothing left on it. Not that I have, like, porn pictures on my old phones or whatever, but still, I just information in general, addresses or... Although I guess, like, when you really think about it, what would you have on your phone that you would be worried that someone else would have or that would be able to access your address book? I mean,
yeah, your contacts. So that was kind of it, though. He found it.
Yeah. Let's see what I'm sure there's probably not much more to the story. That is. Oh, here you go. Speaking of restaurants, since we were just talking about Burger King.
Yeah.
Bunyadi. It's London's first naked restaurant. Has 27,000 on the waiting list weeks before opening.
Really?
Did we talk about this, though? About, like, the restaurant where it was in pitch black. We talked about that one, right?
I don't remember that.
But this one was... It's going to offer an entirely natural eating experience where people are free from the trappings of modern life, including phones, electric lights... and even clothing. I don't think I've ever really been worried once, like at restaurants, about making sure that I'm free from the trappings of my clothing. I really don't feel like that's held me back from my eating experience.
No, sometimes if my sleeve is drapey, I might have to hold it up. But that's That's the only entrapment that I felt from my clothing. I haven't felt like
Bunyani. My shirt. It's called.
Yeah, I haven't
Bunyani.
Felt like my pants or my bra is going to fall into my spaghetti.
I don't think I would really be able to be that comfortable eating, because all you'd be doing would be staring at the hugely ugly naked people around you, because it's not, and I think in your mind, it's like the naked beaches.
Hugely ugly naked people.
Well, because you know that like the majority of them are probably going to be kind of hideous, because that's what nude beaches.
So you're body shaming people.
No, I don't mean hugely like fat. I just mean like unattractive. It's not like it's going to be a restaurant full of models walking around. I think people have in their mind, like when they think of stuff like that, it's like assuming that, you know, women just naked pillow fight when they have sleepovers. I think it's the same thing. In your mind, you think, well, that would be really interesting to be in a restaurant filled with naked people, because in your mind, all of the naked people are like model skinny and really attractive, where when you show up and you go, oh no, this is just a bunch of like real people.
Yeah. Well,
I don't want to see real people naked.
Yeah. I mean, people have like, you know, breasts that sag or hang, or they're not quite as perky and their bottom spreads and their hips spread.
Yeah.
And
nobody needs to see that. Like, I don't need to see, there's a reason why we invented clothing, because most people don't want to walk around seeing everybody else naked.
I do not think that's why we invented clothing, was that people don't want to see other people naked. I think clothing was invented for warmth as we moved into colder climates. You are so funny. Yeah,
we don't want to see everybody naked.
Yeah, we invented clothes because I'm tired of seeing shit.
I'm tired of seeing Frank next door's ass.
Yeah. I would be more concerned about sticking to the seat.
Right. We invented clothes, so, you know, our asses didn't stick to the seats.
At the restaurants.
At restaurants.
Can you get that historical document for me?
Let's see. Yeah, I'm going to look it up.
Can you do some research to why clothing was invented?
First nude restaurant will offer an entirely natural eating experience where people can be free from the trappings of modern life. The venue offers a clothed section for those who do not wish to drop their drawers before dining. As the restaurant will only be open for 3 months, it seems not all of those that have signed up will... It's only going to be open for 3 months? What?
Oh, it's like a pop-up?
Yeah, but why? The concept is set to open this June in an unconfirmed location. The restaurant's it has a Facebook page. Shows a map with a pin on Whitehall, but a spokesman confirmed this is not the correct location and refused to reveal where it would be. Why? First of all, I've never heard of that. What are pop-up restaurants?
A pop-up restaurant is like something, you know, a restaurant that's only going to be open for a short period of time.
But why? What's the point of that?
To see if the restaurant idea works, to see, I mean, I think there's pop-up fashion clothing stuff. And you know what it is? Okay. So, you know, those the Halloween, costume store where
the pop-up, but why would you need Halloween, a pop-up restaurant?
Halloween Spirit or something. They're there for like 3 months and then they close. Same thing. So maybe they're only going to open at the warm because it's in England, you said?
Yeah.
So maybe they're only going to be open during the summer months because it would be kind of ridiculous to think that people are going to walk in the winter naked.
We believe people should get the chance to enjoy and experience a night out without any impurities. No chemicals, no artificial colors, no electricity, no gas, no phone, and even no clothing. The idea is to experience true liberation. Yeah, carefully. Hopefully the people in the kitchen have clothes on. They don't really say that, because it's wood flame grilled meals on handmade clay crockery and edible cutlery.
Edible cutlery.
I wouldn't want to be cooking anything wood flamed if I didn't have any clothes on.
Okay, so would you go?
No. The use of natural bamboo partitions and candlelight has enabled us to make the restaurant discreet whilst adhering to the ethos behind it. No doubt this has been the most challenging project for us yet, which makes us very excited about it. You wouldn't be able to get in. It's an undisclosed menu, but it's going to be vegan. Oh, a vegan and non-vegan tasting menu of food cooked on a wood fire. Gowns, changing rooms, and lockers will be provided for those who are stripping down. And no photography allowed. Because wouldn't that obviously go against their... It just defeats the purpose of no electricity.
I would do it. Totally. You're like done with it.
No. I just think it's... I don't understand. There's so many things about this I don't understand. I don't understand the whole pop-up restaurant idea. I've never seen a pop-up restaurant.
Well, I think it's just to it's like if you do it for a short period of time, you see if the concept works without investing, you know, tons of money in it.
Bunyadi. I love it. But also, they don't say whether or not the people, I don't want my freaking server to be naked. I don't need your wiener coming that close to my food.
Yeah, I guess you would have to be careful because you wouldn't want pubis hairs in your food.
No.
Could you imagine that one? Excuse me, waiter, there's a pubic hair in my food here. Oh, I'm so sorry. So sorry.
So sorry. Our apologies. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well, we'll get you another salad. I've heard of tossed salads, but this is a whole new thing. Yeah, well, speaking of tossing salads or things of that nature.
Yeah.
You're going to be surprised if this story comes out of Florida.
Oh, that is shocking.
But a Florida man says to cops, masturbating makes me feel like destroying stuff. How about that? A Florida man accused of vandalizing a home in Largo allegedly told police he was masturbating to loud music when he suddenly felt like going out and destroying stuff. Mm-hmm. The Largo Police Department got a call on Friday about a man smashing a mailbox. And when they responded at the home, they found the man later identified as William Timothy Anderson Thomas, because you can't have enough names, was shirtless and covered in dirt, according to the Palm Beach Post. The officers also noticed a flattened trailer tire, a broken window, and that a real estate sign and garden angel were demolished, according to the arrest affidavit. Officers said Thomas admitted causing the destruction. They claimed he told them he had listened to too much music and masturbated too much, and he felt like going out and destroying stuff.
And I thought that was supposed to make you feel calmer, A. And B, I think I would want to destroy a garden gnome, too. Who has garden gnomes? That would make me angry.
Police did note what music Thomas was listening to before the incident, and they did not know what the music was. The 25-year-old self-pleasurer was taken to the Pinellas County Jail.
Self-pleasurer. The 25-year-old self-pleasurer.
And criminal mischief.
Yeah.
He remains behind bars on $7,000 bond.
None of that tomfoolery around here, mister.
No, but he looks angry in his picture, and it doesn't look like he just masturbated because he does not look relaxed in the least.
Yeah, and I thought that was supposed to make you feel more relaxed.
He's scraped up and bloody on his nose.
The garden gnome fought back. The garden gnome fought back.
Perhaps. Or debris from whatever he broke. But that's weird. Why would you... I think this is just a whole episode of me not understanding stuff.
People make shit up to try to get themselves out of trouble. I'm sorry, baby, I cheated because I have a sex addiction. I'm sorry, baby, I fucked my estranged daughter because I have GSA. I'm sorry, I dragged that poor boy into the woods because I'm a member of NAMBLA and they told me to. I mean, like, I vandalized that stuff because I just masturbated. Wait,
okay,
what?
So you think perhaps maybe he was on drugs and just broke shit up and then said, oh man, the masturbation needs to do it.
Yes, perhaps, because come on. I think people say dumb shit to try to get themselves out of trouble. My kids do. They say dumb shit all the time to try to get themselves out of trouble.
Well,
they don't use the masturbating one, I'm not going to lie. And they've never used NAMBLA. But I'm just saying, like, in general, that's what people do. They say dumb shit to try to get themselves out of trouble.
All right. Weird. Well, here's another weird one. Out of California, alleged naked lawn waterer making a big splash with a viral arrest photo. So this
naked
dude,
lawn waterer, there was a story I saw, I think, where there was a guy in like a thong who was exercising in his front yard in rush hour traffic just to amuse and entertain the traffic goers, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, what's making the story viral is that he's like in his mugshot, he's like smiling and sticking out his tongue. And he's got a bunch of tats on him and he's just an odd looking fella. Robert Lopez was arrested Wednesday. I can hear you typing.
Sorry, I was looking up. I was going to try to look it up. Go ahead.
Robert Lopez was arrested Wednesday evening after a series of events that began when neighbors in Kingsburg, California, reported the purported nude yard work to Fresno County deputies. The officers arrived at the suspect's home. He was drinking beer and still naked. They suggested he put on some clothes, but he refused, according to the police report. Instead, he allegedly cursed at the deputy and threw a glass beer bottle at him, which hit a chain link fence.
And well, again, this goes back to the what would you do? Would you really take time out of your day to call the police on your naked your naked neighbor doing yard work? No, I wouldn't.
No, but I don't have children.
I suppose.
I mean, even if I did, it would be a really good example of like going, okay, so Mr. Lopez is apparently intoxicated and he's naked. I don't want you hanging out with Mr. Lopez. Do you understand why? Yes, Mom. I will not hang out with Mr. Lopez. Okay, and we're going to let Mr. Lopez do whatever he wants to do as long as he doesn't bother us. Because he's just naked. If he was masturbating, I think I would call the police.
Yeah, because, I mean, God knows that that would probably be next, right?
Well, Deputy said Lopez threatened to get a gun and shoot the officers, so that apparently was next, after the beer bottle.
All right.
He then allegedly put on a pair of shorts and went inside before returning with an 8-inch knife.
Oh.
Yeah, so he was nefarious here. The officers got the knife away from him, but say he threw a beer bottle at them before an assisting deputy fired a beanbag round at Lopez's stomach, which caused him to drop to the ground.
Beanbag round. He took a beanbag blow to the stomach.
And he's a big guy, so I'm surprised that, like, if one beanbag, like, even fazed him.
But I mean, who knows? Like, those are probably shot out at some pretty high force.
Yeah, I'm thinking he was fucked up in some way, either alcohol or drugs. But after officers put handcuffs on Lopez, he smiled and stuck his tongue out for an arrest photo seen above. And then they took him to the Fresno County Jail, where he took a more sedate photo for his mugshot. Much completely different. How he looked in one shot versus the other is beyond me. $66,000 bail for facing felony charges of assault with a deadly weapon on a peace officer, resisting arrest, and a misdemeanor for indecent exposure. So he just went ahead and a misdemeanor, and this dude just jacked it up to some serious.
Yeah, just being naked is one thing, but you can't pull out a knife. I'm not sure he would have pulled it out from since he didn't have any clothes on, but you can't pull a knife out because then shit gets real.
Yeah. So that was Mr. Lopez. If you're from Kingsburg, California, now you know what he's up to.
Yep.
I guess there you go. There you have that. So I guess this is going to be, for me, this is just a confusing episode. I think I've confused myself sufficiently. I think I've confused our listeners sufficiently. So maybe everyone will just be like, wow, that was a time suck. And I have no idea what I just listened to. That's right. Okay. So thanks for joining us.
Listening, driving in the car, going, huh? What?
And they're going from one thing to another, and it's so disjointed, and none of it makes sense.
It's the confusing
non-sequitur show. Oh, boy. Well, we'll see you in a couple days for another exciting adventure with Double Bubble with Girk and Keek.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us, and don't forget to check out the handcuffs. So you can check them out at www.thehandcuffs.com. They've got great stuff coming up for summer, and you should take a listen to their music because they're so cool to let us, for the last 2 years, use their music to open and close our show.
Yeah.
On that note, I'm just going to stop this episode and wonder what I talked about for the last hour.
I'm just going to stop speaking. That's how this is going to end.
Yeah.
Someone who's clean.